Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Luke Cobray.
Amen. Well, I tell you, tonight is a good word. It's a night for me. If you've got your Bibles, go with me to the book of 2 Corinthians in the 9th chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Really neat section of scripture. And before we get into it, and before I even give you the title of tonight's message, I want to tell you a story, something that happened to me, kind of a confession, if you will. 2 Corinthians in the 9th chapter, and I'm going to tell you a story as you turn there. I was a few months ago now, I was right here at the gas station on the corner of Waterman Avenue and Redlands Boulevard. Now, this gas station right here on the corner, if you've ever been there, is notorious. It's like, without fail, every time I get gas, there's somebody that just beelines it to my car and gives me some story. I'm driving and I'm from out of town and I only have 3 more miles to go and I ran out of gas. Could you just give me $10 to get to where I need to go? Without fail, to the point where I've made it a point to just begin avoiding that gas station altogether, because I've given into those a couple of times, and I remember one time one of our pastors, Pastor Joe, he's not here so I can tell on him, somebody gave him the story, and he said he needed a bus ticket, and he needed like $30 for a bus ticket, and Pastor Joe gave him 30 bucks and was like, "Here, man, here's your bus ticket, go get it." And the guy walked like 12 feet to the next person and was like, "Hey, man, I need a bus ticket, it's 30 bucks, and Pastor Joe just had this righteous anger that rose up. He went over to that guy. I was like, "Hey, man, I gave you the money. What are you?" And we found out, you know, that was a story that he was using or whatever it would be. No, I'm not going to get into the politics of whether or not somebody's asking for money is true or not. Simply put, that gas station has a reputation. So I was getting gas there, and I was sitting there, and I was getting out, and I saw a young guy, real young. He was walking around. You could tell when they're not getting gas that there's an ulterior motive, right? So I get out, just kind of keep my head down, okay? Put my gas, you know, my fuel line in there. Right as I start pumping gas, this big, and I don't want to get cliche, but this big Ford old SUV shows up with all these skull and crossbone and the name of every heavy metal band ever in existence stickered all over the back. And the guy opens up the door to pump gas in the pump in front of me. And you can just hear like the double bass pedal, the screaming, the guitars. And the guy like stumbles out of his car and is like, "Oh," you can see like this billow of smoke come out of his car, right? So he starts getting gas and he's got his radio blaring, and I'm just like, "Okay, pump, pump, pump." You're looking at it, can you go any faster? And this kid comes over to me. Right as he comes over to me, I look at him, he looks at me, and he just begins to open his mouth. And I just say to him, "Hey, man, not today." And he just says, "All right." And he just turns and walks to the guy next to me. And the guy with the heavy metal blaring and just beating, and he's just barely staggering. You know, I don't even know if he was drunk or what, or if he just was high on, you know, heavy metal. I don't know, whatever. He starts telling him, and what this kid was is he was one of those guys that they sell those coupons for their uniforms. You know, if you buy this coupon book for $10, it helps me buy. And he was from Rialto High, and he was just trying to pay for his football uniform. So he goes over to this guy, and the guy turns his turns his radio down. The kid tells him that, "Hey, I'm trying to buy my football uniform, and I'm just trying to sell these." And the guy's like, "Dude, totally, oh my gosh." He's like, "Hey, man, this guy's selling those." He's telling the guy and his friend, "This guy's selling those ticket books, man." And he just whips out the money. He's like, "Dude," and gives him a high five. And the kid goes on his way. And man, the Holy Spirit nailed me. Just nailed me. And the Holy Spirit said to me, "And you're the Christian." Oh, I mean, I just came undone. I was up in the mountains with a couple of guys from our church, and I'd confessed to them the story, and I just said, "Man, it just beat me up." But you know, it really kind of dawned on me, because in my own life, I've always thought myself to be a generous person. I've given everything I have is always up. My wife will tell you, if there's something in my house and I see that somebody needs it, I'll give it to them. Just whatever. And she's like, "Luke, that's yours. That's your favorite thing, or that's your." And it's like, they need it. And I've always thought myself, I'm a generous person. And then the Holy Spirit convicts me of a selfish heart. How does this work? So I began to read and I began to study and begin to look at the Word of God. And I was reading in 2 Corinthians. And tonight I want to talk about the title of this message. And please don't shut off when you hear this, because I promise you, this is not about your money. Okay? Can you say yes, Pastor Luke? I got you, okay? It's not about your money. It goes way far beyond that. The title of tonight's message is this, is Giving with a Purpose. Giving with a Purpose. I wanted to call it Gliving with a Purpose. Giving and living, but anyways, we'll move on. And as I was reading the Bible in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, Paul the Apostle is exhorting the church at Corinth about their gift. He's stirring them up for a collection, a gift, an offering that they've committed to. And he's kind of reminding them, hey, I'm coming into town. I want to exhort you. I want to remind you that you guys have committed to this. This is something that was on your hearts. You see, the thing about Corinthians is that they were a well-off church. They were on the higher scale of the economics of the churches of the day. There were other churches that Paul uses the example. They were in deep poverty and they gave out of the abundance of their heart. And here he has to really kind of pull and pull it out of this church and remind them and just keep going at it. And he was speaking. And here I want to just take a look at two verses, and then we'll conclude at the end of the night with the last verse of 2 Corinthians in the 9th chapter. Looking at verse number 6, Paul the Apostle says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly." Now, let's look at that for a moment, because you and I don't often talk. I mean, we all know the statement, what you sow, you reap. But let's look at that. Sowing is giving. Sowing is letting go. Sowing is planting. Sowing is taking something from your hand, from your possession, and putting it outside of your possession, whether it's a seed into the ground. That seed is no longer in your hand, it is no longer in your bank account, it is no longer in your pocket, it is now in the ground, subject to the mercy of the environment. And so he says, if you sow, if you give, if you let go sparingly, you will reap or return or receive sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Verse number 7. So he says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. Now tonight, I want to remind you one more time, this is not about your money. Take a big deep breath. I'm not going to try to milk it out of you tonight, all right? We're going to just talk about the heart, what he purposes in his heart. And you see, as the Holy Spirit convicted me, you're the Christian. You're the one that's generous. My response, my retort back was, God, I am generous. God, I've given guitars away. I've given equipment away. Half the video control room is my old equipment that I bought. You know, I look all around the church and there are so many different things that my wife and I, our first iPad, when the church wanted to use the little credit card swipe, we gave it to the church. We give everything away. God, how can you convict me of being selfish? How can you convict me of not giving? And God put some things in my heart. He said, it's not about giving when it looks good. It's not about giving to people you like. What about giving to the people that you will never see again? What about sowing a seed that you may never reap the harvest, that somebody else might reap? And it began to just unravel everything I had stood on because I thought that I was a generous person. And today I want to talk about giving with a purpose and looking at what you and I can do to give with a purpose. And you know, when I say it's not about your money, the reason I can say to you that it's not about your money, and even though Paul the Apostle is exhorting the church for a financial gift, giving, sowing goes so much beyond money. It goes so far beyond the dollar bills in our bank accounts. We have to learn to give our time, to give our efforts, to give of our emotions. Oftentimes we want to just close off, just shut down. I was on an airplane on Friday for 3 hours, and it was just so easy for me to put my headphones in and shut down. And sometimes we've got to learn that we've got to give of ourselves more than just money, more than just finances, more than just material or possessions. We've got to give of ourselves, give back to what God has given us, give to our time and our efforts and our emotions and whatever it might be that God is setting in our heart a purpose. To learn how to give with a purpose. You've all heard about, you know, purpose-driven life and purpose-driven churches and purpose. We all have to have a reason. But God has put us on this place to sow into the kingdom of God so that we or that somebody else might reap. So today I want to just look at some things. Quick things. I don't even want to spend a lot of time. I say that every time. About giving with a purpose. Just some things as I was studying, some things that I was looking at as God was speaking to my heart in my own life of how to improve the areas that need correction, to look at some things about giving with a purpose. And so I'm just going to give us three thoughts tonight on giving with a purpose. And they're not one, two, three, because it's not step one, step two, step three. It's three thoughts of giving with a purpose and how you and I can learn to live and to, some thoughts about it as to apply to our lives. And so today I want to just talk about giving with a purpose. I'll make that statement and we'll conclude that or we'll finish the statement. So giving with a purpose, first thought for tonight, requires purpose. Giving with a purpose requires a purpose. That's like a totally obvious statement. Duh, Pastor Luke. But see, the thing is why give? What to give, when to give, how to give, what is it that we're going to give, what is it that we're going to do, how are we going to go about that? You see, if we don't set a purpose, if we don't set a reason, an example, if we don't set something aside in order to sow or to give, then guess what happens? We in our culture, we're consumers. Not just financially consumers. We consume everything. That's why when the latest gadget comes out and it saves us 4.7 seconds checking our email, we have to have it. Why? Because we want to consume as much time as we can doing other things. So if we don't get a purpose or we don't establish a purpose in our lives as to what to do, as to how to apply, as to how to live, then we're going to go throughout our lives and we'll miss opportunities. If I don't set in myself, in my own heart and say, God, I have a purpose. I have a budget, whether it's a financial budget, whether it's a time budget, whether it's an outreach budget, whatever it might be. God, I'm going to set this amount or this time or this effort aside, and I'm going to trust that you will give me the opportunity to seed it, but I'm going to place it in my heart with a purpose. What is purposed in your heart? As Paul exhorts the church, he says, I want to encourage you to give that which you had purposed in your heart. You had already thought about it, he says. You've already set it aside. You already talked about your wife or to your wife about it. You've already planned it out. Now that you've planned it out, follow through. And we've got to learn to set a purpose for giving. We had a missions conference a couple of weeks ago. One of the missionaries said that, we don't know this, but the world looks at the American church and they say instead of America flowing with milk and honey, they say that the American church is about milk and money. Immature Christians that are only wrapped about money. We have got to have a purpose in our heart to give back, to sow into, to reach out, to do something for somebody else, to take that which is in our hands, whether it's our gifts, our talents, our abilities, our money, whatever it might be, and to say, I'm going to purpose this to do something, and I will reap bountifully because I will sow bountifully. And we've got to set it aside. To stop thinking so much about our own well-being and to start thinking about what's going on around us and how we can be a difference. If we don't set a purpose or make a plan, we'll never give anything. You'll never give anything. I have so many people that tell me, Pastor Luke, I want to get involved in the offering or the tithe as it comes by, but they show me their paycheck stubs. I can't do anything. Literally. Start somewhere, because you'll look at the number and say, I can't do it. Start somewhere. Set a purpose. Put it in your heart and say, this is what I'm going to commit to. God will make a way. If it's your time, God will redeem your time, because Paul says, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. You spend your time on you, or I spend my time on me, then I will reap sparingly my time. But if we sow our efforts, we sow our lives, we sow our time, we sow our money, guess what? We reap it bountifully when we give it bountifully. I tell you what, I know it's an oh me message, not an amen message. That's always what happens when you preach on the conviction of the Holy Spirit in your life. If you've got your Bibles, go with me to the book of Acts in the 20th chapter. You all right? Can you understand me? Yes. Praise the Lord. Devil's a liar. Acts in the 20th chapter. Here we're going to read some statement from Paul. Paul is exhorting the church at Ephesus. Ephesus, of the seven churches in the book of Revelation, Ephesus is the church that was the church known as you've forgotten your first love. The church that had left or walked away from where they had originally come from. And to understand what Ephesus is, Ephesus to you and I would be like the mega church. Of the seven churches in the book of Revelation that Jesus writes letters to or speaks to, Ephesus is the largest church. Historians estimate that Ephesus had somewhere between 25,000 and 30,000 members in the church of Ephesus. And here Paul the Apostle is exhorting the church about some things in their life. In Acts in the 20th chapter, beginning in verse number 33, Acts 20, 33, Paul says, I have coveted no one's silver, gold, or apparel. Verse number 34, yes, you yourselves know that with these hands have provided for my necessities. I remember there was a story or a movie when I was a kid called The Neverending Story. Anybody remember that? I don't even understand it. I told my wife about it one day, and I was like, oh, it was the best movie I ever watched. And I was like, I don't get it. It didn't even make any sense. So I'm not even telling you. But I remember there was this big rock guy, and he would just said, these hands used to be so strong. I could just imagine Paul as he's exhorting. He says, I want you yourselves to know that these hands, saying my hands, have provided for my necessities. And for those who were with me, Paul says, I provided for myself and for those around me. And he goes on in verse number 35. Check this out. And I have shown you in every way. Check that out. He said, I gave you an example for a reason. By laboring like this, that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed than it is. More blessed to give than it is to receive. Paul the Apostle is telling the leaders and the elders of the church at Ephesus, I have labored for myself and for the betterment of those around me. I have provided for me and for others to show you for a purpose, to show you that you can take care of those who are around you. If I can do it, he says, you can do it. And then he quotes Jesus. Now, the interesting thing about this quote from Jesus is it's not found anywhere in the Gospels, but yet we find it words of Christ in red, because the Bible tells us that Paul was given the dispensation of grace through Jesus Christ. It means that Paul had been caught up, Paul had conversed, had been taught, had been discipled by Jesus. And so here Paul is quoting one of the things that Christ may have very well taught him, that it is better to give than it is to receive. There is a purpose. There is something about giving that fulfills a man's spirit. We consume and consume and consume, and we're never full. Why? Because we weren't made to consume, we were made to give. We weren't made to be selfish, we were made to give to others. We make budgets in our lives. If you don't make a budget, you should. We plan if we're going to buy something, and if we're not, we set aside things that we're going to save to buy things. And now I'm encouraging us as a church to think in our hearts to set aside something in our lives to give, whether it's our time, Whether it's our emotions, whether it's a relationship that you know needs to be encouraged, start setting it aside. Maybe on a Friday, say, man, I know there's a relationship that somebody needs me and I need to do better on it than do something. Start putting a purpose in your heart to reach out to that person if that's the case. But put a purpose in your heart. Giving with a purpose starts with a purpose. One of the thoughts that the Holy Spirit was speaking to me on, giving with a purpose isn't about looks. Giving with a purpose is not about looks. Or how about this? Giving to look good. When we give, it looks good. But what about when no one's looking? What about giving when no one's looking? Since it's confession night, I'll give you another confession. All right, can we do that? So you know that I'm just as human as everybody else. We had our missions golf month. And in our missions golf tournament, we went around and everybody was playing. And, you know, you pay to play in the golf tournament, and all the proceeds go towards missions and funding our missionaries around the world. And throughout the golf tournament, there were also small little fundraisers. And we get to this one hole, and there's this company that says, all right, there's a driver. And if you hit the ball the farthest or whatever it is, then you might win. And if you pay $20, you get to get a raffle ticket and win the driver. And all the proceeds to the $20 goes to your cause. I'm thinking, man, we already paid. So we're there. Funny thing I didn't know about it, I'll tell you afterwards, is the missionary that we're with pulls out a 20, boom, slaps it down. The guy, he pulls another one, boom, slaps it down. This guy, too, I'm covering that guy. He paid $40 to swing this golf club. Pastor Dan pulls out a $20 bill, boom. All right, it's for our missions month. All eyes are on me. And I've made no secret about it. I don't like golf, don't care. She's like, this is the best driver in the world. You might be able to win it. I'm like, who cares? If I win it, I'll never use it. But everybody was looking. So I pulled the $20 bill out of my wallet and was like, here you go. 100% guilty of giving to look good. Everybody was watching me. I didn't want to give it. If nobody was watching me, if I was golfing by myself, I would have said, hey, sorry about you. I don't have any cash, even though I had cash in my wallet. Funny thing is, my wife was right in front of us with her group of girls, and she told the lady, my husband's like El Cheapo. He ain't going to pay nothing. And when I told her that I paid, she was like, man, you got suckered into that one. But we do that. We give because it looks good. You know, you think about it, charity is cool. You know, oh, buy this pair of shoes and we'll give so much over here. Or buy this t-shirt that has the color red on it and we'll benefit these people over here. Or everything, every dollar you spend, we'll give 0.000001 cent to over here. Oh, but they're doing something. And so they do it to look good, not to do it. And you and I have got to learn that if we're going to be purposeful in giving and giving with a purpose in our life and to fulfill what God's desire for us, we got to learn to give when it doesn't look good. When not just because everybody's watching. Don't give the dollar bill to the guy because you see the pastor in your rear view window when you're at the stoplight. Oh, man, pastor saw me. I better give him, you know, I better look like him. It's not about that. It's about giving when it doesn't look good, when nobody's looking. And that's what the Holy Spirit convicted me. I give, and I don't go and tout it and shout it, but I give to people I like. I give to people that I care about. But what about the people I don't know? What about the people I'll never know? What about the people I'll never meet? What about the fruit that I'll never see? We've got to learn to give. And if you've got your Bibles, go with me to the book of Matthew in the 6th chapter. Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew 6 chapter, Jesus is speaking. Verse number 2. It says, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they will have their reward. Goes on in verse number 3, he says, but when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret. For as your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. We like that. We live in a culture that says, I do good. I help my fellow mankind. So I give to someone and it says, give and we'll post it on Facebook for you. So-and-so just gave $10 to this or to that or whatever it might be. We dump buckets of ice on our head or we say we're not going to and we don't give the money anyways. And you see, we've got to learn as a church that it's not about the outward appearance. It's not about the glory of men. It's not even about receiving. I'll sow because Jesus asks me to sow. I'll do what God has asked me to do because God has asked me to do that, whether or not I receive the fruit or somebody else receives the fruit or reaps the harvest. Why? Because I know in my own life there has been times when I have reaped what somebody else has sown. Case in point, I took over young adults ministry. Pastor Jess and Pastor Dan sowed the seed, and I have been reaping what they have sowed. And you and I have gone through lives and we have seen things and we have reaped what others have sowed, but we've got to learn to sow when nobody's looking, when nobody cares, when nobody gives a hoot about it, because that's what God says to do, to give with a purpose in our lives. Are you guys with me still? All right. It's a dismal clap, I know, because you're like, Pastor Luke, I should have gone to Calvary Chapel tonight, but it's all good. We love our brothers and sisters in Calvary Chapel. Giving with a purpose, last one for tonight. I told you I wasn't going to spend much time. One more point. Giving with a purpose, last one for tonight, is living for others. So giving with a purpose means setting a purpose. Giving with a purpose means not giving to look good. Giving with a purpose is living for others. Which not, it doesn't mean giving for others, living for others. You see, because giving with a purpose signifies an unselfish life. And an unselfish life means it's a life not about self. When it's not about self, therefore, it's about others. And when we learn to give with a purpose, we learn that our life is about others, about making somebody else's life better. I mean, if you think all the way back to the very beginning, the golden rule, Jesus says to treat your neighbor as you would yourself. Why? Because it's not about how you treat yourself. It's about how you treat your... See, if everybody lived the golden rule, everybody'd be happy, right? Because we would all be living for others, but we get so wrapped up in our own selves. And I am just as guilty as everybody else. I'm the guiltiest person in here when it comes to living for self. And the Holy Spirit's just been working on me to be genuine, to not be fake, to not be phony, to not give because it looks good, but to be real about it. To really be about other people, to really care. When somebody says, will you pray for me, brother? To not say, I will, and forget. That's not what God's wanting us to do. That's why I say it's not about money. Maybe it's about taking 10 minutes out of your life to pray for somebody who's asked for it, or who hasn't asked for it, but you know they need it. To give, to live for others. I remember when my wife and I, we bought a car many years ago. We were at the dealership, and it seems like every time we buy a car, it's at night, and it's always like as the dealership is closing. And so we were there, we were buying this car, it just had come out, we didn't know that, but we just liked it, it was a cool car, didn't do any research on it, just kind of, it was one of those emotional decisions. And I remember we were sitting there, and the salesman, now if you're a car salesman, I love you, I know you're not like this, but the car salesman was just like, hey man, listen, kind of lean in the table, come here, I just want you to know, I got your back. It's you and me against the sales manager. Okay. So, well, what do you want to buy the car for? Well, we want to buy the car for this. Let me go talk to my manager. 15 minutes later. Oh, dude, he just beat me up, man. I tell you what, dude, I fought for you. I was arguing for you. He came back with this price. No, man, we want this. Let me go talk to my manager. 10 minutes later. Comes back, dude, this guy's cutthroat, man. He's just really, I'm working for you, man. Come on, work with me. How about this payment instead? I'm like, dude, I don't care about the payment. I want the price to be this. Okay, well, how about this? What if I throw, all right, throw this in and throw that in and throw this in over here, this package over here, and then tell me, all right, let me go talk. 20 minutes goes by. Guy's nowhere to be found. He's talking to his sales manager, so he says, right? He's out on the front of the dealership smoking a cigarette, waiting for me to sit it out. Oh, but it's you and me against the sales manager. It wasn't anything about that. He wasn't on my side, and from the very first moment, I knew that he wasn't on my side. And the very first thing when you step onto a car lot, that's why I say if you're a car salesman, we love you. But if you step onto a car lot and you see that guy walking down with the slacks in his t-shirt walking towards you, you know, you get the defense up. Why? Because you know they're not on your side. Unless you're in here. But you see, as Christians, the Holy Spirit convicted me at that gas station. Why? Because in my heart, I was acting like a car salesman. I was saying, I'm on your side. I'm the Christian. I'm the pastor. Oh, the Holy Spirit is upon me. But then at the same time, I'm saying, nah, I don't even want to hear your case. I don't even want to support your cause. It wasn't about the $10 that that kid was asking for. It was about the heart. So the Holy Spirit says to me, man, it's not about you. It's not about your life. It's not about your money. It's not about how big of a house you have, what kind of a car you drive. It's about living life for others. The amazing thing is that some of the most impoverished places in the world have a concept of this, but us in America have such a hard time wrapping our fingers around this. That China is sending 35,000 missionaries a day into the world. And they can't even get a page of the Bible to read, and we have translations galore. And we sit at home and think about ourselves. We've got to learn, church, to give and to live for the betterment of somebody else. Because this world is dying. This world is going to hell in a handbasket. 57% of Americans, when surveyed around the world, says things are getting worse and they're not getting better. Obviously. We've seen things like placing military on borders of hostile countries, of placing trade embargoes on countries that want to do something. We've seen over years and decades and decades and decades that has no effect. But what does is Jesus. But it takes somebody willing to say, I will live my life for somebody else. I will live my life for the betterment of somebody else, whether it's my family, whether it's somebody at my job, whether it's my friend that needs me and it's late at night and I don't want to answer the phone because I know that they're strung out or I know that they're drunk again or whatever it might be. I'm going to set a purpose in my life to live for somebody else that they might know Jesus. John, the 13th chapter. If you've got your Bibles, go with me there. John, the 13th chapter. John, chapter 13. This is a really amazing story, talking about living for others. John, chapter 13, beginning in verse number 12, Jesus has literally taken his clothes and taken his garments off that was that which identified him, and he's put on a robe or a towel. Got down on the ground with a bucket of water and he washed his disciples' feet. You got to understand that in the culture 2,000 years ago, feet, they didn't have closed-toed shoes. They didn't have Nikes and kicks, and it wasn't all about style. It wasn't about buying the newest and the coolest shoes, accessorizing. It was leather straps that you walked in the dirt and dung-filled road. Your feet were nasty. You think you got nasty feet now? You should have looked back 2,000 years ago. That's why it was such a disgrace to even talk about feet being under the feet, being set underneath somebody's foot. And here, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, on his knees, wrapped in a towel, begins to wash his disciples' feet. He takes the ultimate act of humility to his disciples, and he says to his disciples this very statement in John, the 13th chapter. So when he'd washed their feet and he'd taken his garments, he sat down and he said to them, this is verse 12. He says, do you know what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, because I am. But if then your Lord and your teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example set by Jesus, that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he sent greater than he who sent him. For if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I remember there was a book I had read a long time ago called The Go-Giver. It was about a young salesman that was trying to figure out how to be successful. And he saw this successful man, and he began to interview and talk to his proteges and people that he had mentored and people that he walked, and they were all successful. And when it came down to meeting this man, the successful, this rich, this wealthy, famous man, the entire process was about giving somebody a genuine experience. That when you sold them something, they were more interested in the person on the phone selling it than they were the product. If you've ever bought something and somebody's gone out of their way for customer service, you know right off the bat, that's a company I'll support, that's a business that I'll buy from again, versus somebody that's taking your money, giving you a lousy product, and does not care about you. Because it's about being genuine. It's about investing. It's about allowing people to see who we really are, but that takes time, that takes a gift, that takes giving of ourselves for the betterment of somebody else. Jesus gives us the ultimate, or God gives us the ultimate example in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. For God so loved the world that he gave. If God loved us so much to give his only begotten son, Jesus, if Jesus loved his disciples and us so much that he gave us an example to love others, we have got to learn as a church, as Americans, or in whatever walk of life we're in, to give to others around us, because this life that we live is not for us. This life that we live is for Christ. And I love this. We were there in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Go back to 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Go back to 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. You're like, praise the Lord, he's wrapping it up. All good. 2 Corinthians in the 9th chapter. We had read, I say that he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So let each one give as he's purposed in his heart. It's time to set purposes in our heart. What is the budget that we're going to allow? Whether it be time, whether it be effort, whether it be emotion, whether it be finances, whatever it is, set something aside and prepare. Not grudgingly or out of necessity or for looks. We could add that in our own thoughts as we discuss today. For God loves a cheerful giver. And I love this. Verse number 8. And God is able to make all grace abounds towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for what? Every good work. For every good work. I'm going to conclude with this thought. My daddy taught me this, and I have seen it all my life. You can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. It may have cost you something. It may have been valuable to you. You may not feel like it. You may not want to. But when we give that which costs us, that which we have purposed in our heart, God is able to make all grace abound towards us, that we would have all sufficiency in all things and have an abundance for every good work. Why? Because you can't outgive God. Elijah, come on up. Tonight, before we conclude this message, I just want to take a moment. I want to pray. Because the Holy Spirit is on my heart. There are areas that I know I need to be generous in. There are areas I know in my life that I need to set a purpose and fulfill and not to forget on Sunday night. And if you're in this place and you say, man, Pastor Luke, there are some things in my life, there are some areas in my life that I know I need to give. I need to be a purposeful giver, to live and to give with a purpose. I'm just going to ask you to stand and let's just pray that God would make all grace abound towards us. Let's pray that God would give us the opportunity to exercise and to use that which he's called us and gifted us to do. And let's believe that God is going to do something, not just in our own lives, but in this church. Not just in this church, but in this city. Not just in this city, but in this inland empire. Not just in this inland empire, but in this country. Not just in this country, but all around the world. But it starts with each and every one of us doing something for the kingdom of God. Amen. So would you just raise your hands to the Lord? Let's just pray today. Father, I just come before you. Lord, we just come with our hearts open, our hearts prepared. And Lord, I ask that Just as your Holy Spirit spoke to me on that day at the gas station, that your Holy Spirit right now would speak to each and every one of us in this room on things in our lives that we need to look at, things in our lives that we need to pay attention to, areas of our lives that when it comes to giving, when it comes to living for others, that we would need to address. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you would give us all wisdom that we need. Give us direction as we lay aside, Lord, that which cost me. As David says, I won't give that which cost me nothing. Lord, I pray as we've laid aside, your word says that he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So Lord, I pray that as we give, as we set a purpose in our hearts to be a generous church, to be a generous people, to be a people that is not about milk and honey, but milk and money, but milk and honey. To send to a lost and dying world, whether that dying world is around the world or around the oceans or right around the corner. God, I pray that you would just impart into us that generosity, that divine drive, that we would say, there's an opportunity, I'm going to do it. There's an opportunity, I'm going to do it. There's an opportunity, I'm going to do it. And Lord, I pray that as we sow, as we give, as we pour out ourselves, as we make ourselves available, Lord, I pray that your word, your promises would be true, that you would give us grace. Lord, that it would abound towards us, that we would have everything that we need and every abundance for good works. Lord, I pray that you would redeem the time. If it's late at night, Lord, I pray that you would redeem the sleep. If it's dollar bills, I pray that you would redeem that. And Lord, I pray that we would each reap where we haven't sown. And Lord, I pray that we would sow and somebody else would reap the benefits. Because God, it's not about us, it's about others. And right now, I just want to take a moment. There's somebody in your life, you know, you need to set a purpose. Maybe it's a phone call. Maybe it's a text message. Maybe it's just a, hey man, I'm praying for you. But I just want to take a moment and I want to just ask each and every one of you for the next 20 seconds to pray for that person, to pray for that individual, to pray for that which is set into your heart. Let's just pray for that person right now, that God would give us the opportunity to show us what we can do to be better givers. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the ultimate example of your love and your desire to live for those other than yourself by giving Jesus Christ for us. So Lord, we look to you. We look to Jesus, who says, do you know what I have done? I have washed the feet. I have laid on the cross, given myself. Lord, as Jesus has promised to us, says, if you do these and you follow what I say, you will be blessed. I pray for blessing in this house. Blessing so that we could bless more. Reaping so that we could sow more. Giving so we can give more. Lord, I pray that we would see the fruits of our labors. Lord, that we would reap bountifully that which we have sown. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.